than a medical breakthrough. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Trump thinks so.
I think we found an answer to autism. How about that?
He said that at Charlie Kirk's memorial, and the announcement is coming this afternoon, reportedly citing studies linking Tylenol to the developmental disorder, but the company that makes it rejects that.
Most medical groups, major medical groups, they do maintain that Tylenol or acetaminophen, its active ingredient, is the safest way to treat pain or fevers during pregnancy, noting that high maternal fevers also have been linked to autism.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff at the White House.
There's also a lot of anticipation today about potential autism treatments. The administration is reportedly going to launch an effort to explore something called leucovorin. It's a cheap version of folic acid that's been used off-label for a number of years to help children with speech impairments.
Back to the Charlie Kirk Memorial, where the president told a crowd of tens of thousands.
The assassin failed in his quest because Charlie's message has not been silenced. It now is bigger and better and stronger than ever before.
Kirk's widow, Erica, in tears, forgave her husband's suspected killer. And then said,
"The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and always love."
Erica Kirk has taken over leading Turning Point USA, and tonight, the first on-campus event since the assassination will be at the University of Minneapolis Twin Cities. Also later today, President Trump will go to the United Nations in New York, where Australia, Britain, and Canada are joining other American allies, recognizing a Palestinian state, which Israel strongly rejects while still waging war against Hamas in Gaza.
Hamas has drafted a personal letter to President Trump asking him to guarantee a 60-day pause in the fight in exchange for immediately releasing half of the hostages. Remember, there are still 48 hostages being held by the terror group inside the Gaza Strip. It's estimated around 20 are believed to be alive.
That's Trey Yingst. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
11's information desk, I'm Jelena Aguilera. Lockdown was lifted at Yuma High School and the Mastery of Arts program after there were reports of an armed suspect in the neighborhood near the school. Yuma police say they looked into the matter, but there was no gun found and everything was cleared. The district went on lockdown as a precaution, but again, that has since been lifted. Plus, Yuma County wants to remind eligible voters about the upcoming special election for Congressional District 7. On Tuesday, September 23rd, six voting centers will be open from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. across Yuma County. Emergency voting will take place 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, September 20th through Monday, September 22nd, also at the Yuma County Recorder's Office. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
All right, do-it-yourselfer. You've got the idea, and you got your building supplies at Southwest Lumber.
That's right.
Now, all you need is a bunch of expensive tools to get the job done.
Oh, that's right.
And you know just the place to rent them. Southwest Lumber, your home for everything home improvement. Southwest Lumber has half-day to multiple-day rentals available on just about anything you need to finish the job. Rent equipment and tools on Saturday and Sunday. It's free. Stop in today at 1917 South Avenue B in Yuma. Southwest Lumber, ready for everything.
We are set for a high of 96 this afternoon with sunshine, a few passing clouds. Tonight, mostly clear, 79, sunny and 102. Tomorrow, 81 tomorrow night, up to 106 with sunshine on Wednesday.
Do you love sales and freedom? We're looking for motivated, independent contractors to sell radio and digital advertising from home or anywhere. You set your hours, work your own leads, and earn commission on every sale. If you're driven, disciplined, and love helping businesses grow, we want to hear from you. Apply now and start building your future in media sales. Email your resume to edbroadcasters.com today. That's edbroadcasters.com. Take the first step now. Let's grow together.
Outings around the water are supposed to be fun. Help keep them that way by remembering the 5 layers of protection from drowning. Install fences and alarms around pools. Supervise swimmers vigilantly. Make sure everyone in the pool knows basic water skills. Use life jackets around open water and always prepare for the possibility of emergencies with rescue skills such as CPR. Together, these 5 layers can keep the good times good because anyone can drown. No one should. This message brought to you by the Greater Yuma Water Safety Alliance.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Let's see, what'd you work up here, Martine? We got the airport stuff.
Yeah.
You're on the board for the big airport. Hope that's not offensive.
Yeah. Oh, no.
The bigger airport.
Yeah. No. It's all good. The international airport. We're the Summerton airport. So, yeah, we take a different clientele than they've got, which I'm totally cool with. They got the nicer, you know, infrastructure than I do, but we're kind of like the Mad Max of airports, you know?
It is, yeah. So like, and that's funny that you bring that up, because I had not experienced the Summerton airport until I landed. You have to land there, you don't have to, but you do it a couple of times as you're going through your pilot's license process, usually just to like get a feel, because it's a different landing picture,
a different routine. Yeah,
it's a different landing picture that you're used to. You got to be super low coming in there, flying under the MCAS. Yeah. Yeah. So you're at like 600 feet.
Yeah.
Right?
500 MSL. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 300 feet right above the ground level. So it's tight patterns. Tight.
And you got buildings on each side of the runway. So you got to be right on target coming in. Mm-hmm. So it's intimidating as a new student pilot coming into there.
It's even crazier. We just got it paved a few years ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
I've only experienced the paved. And I'm like, this is nice.
Yeah. Very nice. 1945, it was gravel, just dirt. And then we had like a lot of flight training and crop dusters come in. And then my dad got it in 2002. And then after that point, put gravel down and put runway lights on. But my dad was pretty frugal, he'd say. So the runway lights he put in, he just used direct burial, and like he just custom made these little fluorescent bulbs. And
really?
It was such a long run that when he turned them on, lights would slowly just turn on to the end and barely make it, you know. Uh-huh. And it was pretty cool airport. So I grew up landing on gravel, and so I was when I started.
That's
landing
wild to me.
It was a lot different.
That's awesome. So my experience was, you know, I landed there maybe once or twice just in doing training. But then recently I bought that little Cherokee, and then we moved it down there, and you've been so gracious there as we moved that down. And then I got to experience the Summerton Airport. Like you said, it's like the Mad Max. I'm pulling up for the first time. I'm like, what's happening here? You got RVs over here. You got ATVs. You got a business running out of this hangar. Not that it's bad.
Yeah.
I was like, this is awesome. This is a whole like city right here.
Yeah, we definitely got some different income sources. I'm trying to do everything I can to just make it grow. But, you know, eventually I'm going to focus more on the aircraft and the airplanes and probably wean out some of the storage and other things that may not look the best. But, I mean, it helps pay. And
yeah, income's income.
And so, it's been fun growing. And since my dad had it, I put up four more hangars. I got the runway paved. I got Fuels Farm set up and redid the lights so they're a little bit better.
Yeah.
And it's been...
Do you feel like that attracted more...
Yeah, yeah, definitely attracted more people. I know
quality people.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, they're all good quality. Everyone's got their quirks.
That was a trap.
Yeah,
was a trap, and you passed. Good job.
Yeah, no. So yeah, some people like the more quieter airport. We're going to grow a little bit more. So
yeah,
there's a level I want to grow at, and it's fun though. I like it.
If you're a private pilot, I mean, I would say it's kind of like the Wild West, which is a good and to me is a good thing over on the base. So most of my training, if not all of it, was done over on the big airport. And because it's a joint use airport, it's very regulated, very difficult sometimes to get up in the air. And I've heard it's getting a little bit more difficult. But there's a lot of red tape, let's say.
Yeah.
So it was so refreshing to come over to Somerton, just give you a text or call you up and, hey, Eric, man, can I do this? Yeah, sure, dude.
Let's make it happen. No, they definitely have a lot more regulations, a lot more money out on their side. And since I'm private, I can work with you guys. So, yeah, you can bring your dog out. I've got a little shooting range off to the side.
I forgot about the shooting range.
Yeah, I mean, you can have an area for barbecues. I mean, we're just, our security level is a lot different than theirs. You know? So it's a lot more relaxed, and I can work with a bit more, you know. And sure, if I had the infrastructure the Marine Corps had over there in Yuma County, I would definitely probably have to increase security and do some other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like the relaxed feel. It's
so cool.
It's a good feel.
I love it.
It's a good outlet for different style pilots, and it's more fun. So we've had like the STOL competitions where we had the short takeoff and landing competitions, mm-hmm. and we're able to set up and work with them and do that. We've done a couple. We did not do it last year, but we hope to do them again. And then I'm also looking at doing like a Friday night or Saturday night street racing.
Wow.
Because as soon as I paved, I got a lot of people asking me, can I run my car and race it? And we did kind of a trial run, and it was huge. And we're like, oh, crud. Like, I got to get the correct insurance. I got safety infrastructure mm-hmm. set up. So I want to do it right. And then
very cool.
Let these kids run their Honda.
Are you worried it would tear up the tarmac?
No, I was worried about that, but it didn't do anything. It like laid down rubber on top of it. I thought it would pull chunks out of it, but
mm-hmm.
no, we had like dirt bikes racing, street bikes, everything going. It was fun.
That's really cool, and a lot of people came out.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're
just kind of like organic word of mouth,
Facebook and everything, just hit up, and then so it's we'll start doing like flyers, and we'll start getting it set up because that's honestly what's gonna help pay for my resealing and help grow, and it's fun. I like it. I like racing and
dirt bikes and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I do Baja racing, dirt bikes.
Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah. So
I didn't know that. Very cool. So where do you usually do that?
So that we do down in Mexico. I do a lot of U.S. stuff and motocross race on a closed track. But then
here in El Golfo? Or
the motocross tracks is like Phoenix, California, all that. Then the desert racing down south of El Golfo, like Ensenada, doing the whole score series, the whole Baja race score series. Go out of Tijuana or whatever and then head south to Ensenada.
A little further. It's down. Okay, you're going down the coast.
San Felipe and doing all those races. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I want to do some U.S. Reno races, but the Mexico race is fun. It's cool. It's a good chance to do wheelies and eat tacos, you know, at the end of
right?
it. Yeah, it's fun.
Is there a lot of people? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like it's like a nomad group of RVs and stuff?
It's a whole other world. I mean, it's you're like a celebrity going down there, and the town's shut down for it. And it's,
is that right?
Yeah, they've got lots of money and trophy trucks and all that, and I'm on the poor dirt bike, so. But they still treat you like celebrities. They want to take pictures on the bike, and it's pretty fun. And
you have like a uniform, the sponsor or anything like that?
Little sponsors. Yeah, local sponsors.
You do?
Yeah.
You're from here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Some of the farmers help out in the local motorcycle shops, and it's fun.
How much does it usually cost to do something?
Oh,
like
gosh,
that?
It's thousands.
To enter into the...
Enter the race, because it's really good. They have a tracker system now. It's like the rally car racers use that. That way it tracks where you are. You can hit like emergency. Or if they want to pass you, it'll flash blue. You can hit the pass button if somebody's coming up behind you. That way you don't get hit by a really fast trophy truck or something. Or if you're broke down, you can hit stuff. So
wait, so you're racing with other... vehicles, not just motocross people.
Oh, yeah, they've got like quads, huge, UTVs,
everybody at the same time.
Bikes. Well, they'll start you off in sections. They'll maybe do the dirt bike class first, and then the pro classes, and then they'll go through. Then the last class is the stock VW bug class. Like that's historic style.
I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, it's a fun experience.
So there is an opportunity for you to be overtaken by like a something.
Yeah,
something
I've had bigger trophy than trucks you. catch me. Usually at the bigger long races, they'll catch me, and I'll yield to them. Just, you know, I don't want to dust them out too bad, you know. But they're pretty fun.
And have tacos with them when you get back, right?
Tacos, and everyone's a good spirits, good racing community, and everyone helps each other out. So if there's a breakdown on the course, everyone kind of checks on each other. And you know, sometimes they'll sacrifice a whole race to help somebody if they need it bad enough. So it's fun.
It sounds like a whole like community, like
a whole other world, another culture. Yep.
That's super cool.
Fun, so,
how does your wife feel about that?
She hasn't seen me do the desert racing yet. She's heard about some of my experiences, and I've had some bad ones, some YouTube crashes. I got hit by a truck. I've got a few.
It's on YouTube. I can watch it.
Yeah. I've had some famous YouTube. Infamous videos of crashing, and but then again I have Ironman like 500 do the whole race by myself and finished it 500 miles and it's so I, as long as you slow down and have fun, we still end up finishing good. And you know,
I have a friend that is really big into he's been in motocross bikes like a long time, like his whole life, and he's how old is he? He's probably, let's say, in his late 50s, if not, he's probably in his 60s, still kind of doing it. And there was a few years ago, I would say probably maybe 5 or 6 years ago, he didn't show up at church, and we're like, where is he, you know? He broke both of his legs, and that's not the first time.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of crashes and incidences, and yeah, you got to take it easy. And there's like, there was a 70-year-old guy when I was racing, like back in 2016, he was Ironmanning himself, and you know, he not finish super fast, but he gets there quick. It's amazing. It's fun. There's definitely a lot of stories and experiences. And
so you fly airplanes, you drive whatever has wheels.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Whether it's in the desert, on the road, whatever. Yep. What else do you do?
Oh, man. Oh, the river. I mean, Yuma, you got to go to the river. So there's a lot of wakeboarding and a lot of
you do that
surfing.
Too?
Oh, yeah. Take the boat out. And I got two little kids, so that's the only way to
keep them cool occupied
in the summer. So tubing, and they like tubing. I hate pulling tubers, but it's just a pain. But
it's boring.
The kids love it, so I take them out, and then wakeboarding and wake surfing, and it's pretty fun.
Tell me about. I mean, you're a newlywed.
Yeah.
How long has that been?
Coming up on a year. So
okay,
it's been cool. Yeah, we've
feel like you made the right decision. After a year?
This isn't recorded, right? No, just kidding.
Watches it anyway.
Oh, yeah, nobody watches. No, heck yeah. No, it's been the coolest person in my life, best friend, and the only person that can keep up with me. Like, the first time I went to the river, like, after a minute, she did a backflip off the boat. I'm like, yep, that's the one.
that's cool how girl. You know.
Yeah, she's fun. Very,
she does
fun.
A backflip, you're like, yep. That's the one.
Yep. She likes dirt bikes. She came to
she
the...
She does?
Yeah, first time actually, our first kind of quote-unquote blind date, we met up with, I told her, well, let's come to the dirt bike track. We couldn't meet up for dinner. So I'm like, well, I'm riding at Saturday night. There's a local dirt bike track here. And I said, hey, why don't you bring your son? And, you know, if you see if he likes it or not, and, you know, if we're friends or not, we'll see what happens. But at least come check it out. So she brought her own son there and dirt bikes and all set up and, you know, little dirt
she's
bike
ready
mom
to
and ready to go. And she enjoyed the life.
You didn't have
life.
To do anything for her.
Yeah, she was.
She knew what she's doing.
Yeah. She was good. Dang. She had it.
How long did you guys, I guess, court? I hate using that word, but.
Oh, gosh, about a year and then.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's about time. So,
and then what motivated you to say this is the one? I'm going to pop the question. It's a big commitment.
Kind of always knew it. Just getting the right timing. You know, you got to get the families all organized and you know, our life get a little bit organized. And because we're all a little bit older and got our own stuff, so we made it work. And yeah, and actually, she had the great idea. We got married at my house. I've got a little date farm and an old historic like adobe building. And it was using it for a shop. She's like, let's get married here. And I'm like, we can turn it into a wedding venue. I'm like, that's a good idea. I like it. Making muscle money on the side. So
yeah.
So we got married there. And now we're doing wedding venue there.
Are you dealing? Oh, my gosh.
So it's
Eric,
everything.
Dude.
I got to pay for the fuel for all this racing and,
I know.
You know, and flying
awesome.
And stuff. And
now it's all coming together for me.
Yeah.
Why it looks like it at the Summerton Airport.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bad way.
Anyway, it's a hustle. And,
yeah, man. Yeah. I love it. I love the hustle, all these side things. It's so freaking awesome. So now you've got this venue.
Yeah.
Is that booked all the time? Because I've had clients here at the law firm where we've helped set them up with, like, you know, business entities to run those types of venues.
Yeah.
And from all reports, they're constantly slammed.
We just
were always doing the venues.
I just got off the tractor before I came here. I'm moving dirt, just kind of tidying it up, landscaping stuff, make it a little bit nicer. And oh yeah, we already got four booked up, and we're growing. And I mean, it's cool. It's a very rustic, neat experience with the lights between the trees and all that. And
I like
it's,
that.
It's cool.
So it's got an outside portion and an inside. So you got the Adobe building.
Yeah, they can do stuff on the inside of the building, serve food, whatever, and then they can do stuff outside.
So for those listening or watching, if they want to book you, what would they do? How do they do that?
Oh, yeah, just on Instagram, we have a website, Adobe Palms, and it's just Adobe and Palms. So it's just,
that makes sense to me. It's
a beautiful location, good sunset, and good sunset viewing area, and it's fun. We'll work with you. I mean, we'll make it happen. So,
do you do just like weekends? Doesn't matter.
Just it doesn't matter.
If it fits on our schedule, we can do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same kind of the airport. I'm down to do whatever. If we can make it happen, we'll make it happen.
Yeah. I've always worried about opening something like that just because of the liability of like stupid people.
Yeah.
Drinking. I mean, it's going to be drinking and there's going
to
be.
So something. She wants to bring in like so I'm into off-roading, Can-Am, side-by-sides, all that too. And she's like, oh, there's big groups and we should get them to come over. And I'm like, all right, cool. We're going to have to watch them because, you know, they're rowdy. I get rowdy, you know, so I'm going to have to be probably with a tractor leveling the ground afterwards. They may do some Brodies or something, exactly. But I mean, that's what it is, you know, kind of like the airport when I did the drag racing. I mean, there was a few Brodies out in the parking lot and it's going to happen. You don't have to clean up a little bit, you know, but.
You got
to
get the spider webs out. That's what my wife says.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, there's a little risk, but it's fun. Make it happen.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversation on life, death, and the law right after this.
The Allo Fiber deal you've been hearing about is the real deal, where you can switch, stack, and save, combining Allo Internet, DirecTV, and mobile, and lock in your price for 2 years. Don't miss out. Go to allofiber.com/stack.
Attention Yuma businesses. The Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Mega Mixer and Community Business Expo is happening October 24th and 25th. Now's your chance to be in the spotlight. Secure your exclusive member-only booth and showcase your business directly to the community. Connect one-on-one with residents. Grow your brand and be part of an event buzzing with delicious food, live entertainment, and festive atmosphere. And Chamber members, kick things off October 24th at the Mega Mixer. Networking event, the perfect place to build connections before the big expo day. Booths are limited. Reserve yours today at yumachamber.org.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best since 2014.
So your day, it sounds like, involves dealing with the airport, probably primarily.
Primarily, yeah.
You got a lot of tenants there, a lot of stuff going on that you got to deal with. Do you have any helpers that are like?
I have one employee, Micah. He's awesome, perfect redneck. Like he's like, because we're kind of Soma style there. We have to, you know, we repurpose things and get creative on building and construction and
all code planning. All meets code, right?
Yeah, that's all code. But you know, other stuff, you know, making telephone pole, like parking area, designated areas and stuff. We can get creative. What we recycle to help the airport make it look nice and. Functionalities.
Have you gotten into AI at all?
No, not yet. I need
really?
To. Yeah, everyone keeps saying that. But I mean, honestly, I don't even care to take on like advertiser business because I'm booked. Like the airport, I got a waiting list. I can't build the hangars fast enough.
Yeah.
I cannot build it. I'm full.
Do you have more hangars in the mix?
Oh yeah. As soon as I work with the banks on the next one, I just finished the one you're in.
Yeah.
And then I want to continue growing. Like I want to build more hangars and some sort of shops like storage areas and different things like that. So
that reminds me, I was going to ask if you could give me a discount on my hangar. Can you say that on record?
We could.
Don't
we
do
could,
it.
We could talk about it. That. Don't worry. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You need to charge him a premium because he's a high liability.
He does, man. I'm like, what the? Every month. Oh, jeez.
Those are nice hangers, though. You guys are
so nice.
All of them.
Yeah, I'm spoiled. That is beautiful. You really did a good job with those hangers.
Yeah, every time I build them, the cost goes up, but I just make them nice because nobody wants to. Like, I've got the very inexpensive hangers that you push the slide, the doors slide open, and they barely have, they have fluorescent lights in them. But
you're saying the older ones.
Older style, but then these new ones, yeah, I mean, everything's LED.
You haven't seen them, have you, Sean?
No.
I need to take you out and show you the hanger and the plane.
Oh, yeah.
They're awesome. Yeah, you push the button.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Articulates.
Massive door goes up.
Did you fabricated those or you ordered those?
No, company bought them out of them. I wish I had more time. I probably would try because there's not a lot to them, but they're built well and they're
the strap ones. I haven't looked through that.
Closely. Those are even better. They're
out of like Illinois, I believe.
Yeah, it's
like
Swice doors. Swice. They've got the straps.
But is it expensive?
More expensive.
They are more expensive.
Yeah, but I mean, other than they're just faster, I don't see the biggest pros to it. And I've worked with the cable ones and I've repaired them, so.
No worries.
And I want to keep the biggest thing is I want to try to keep the price down. Unless I have a client that does not care. Like, I want to try to keep the price as low as I can, make it affordable. And
when you did all that, I mean, so you reached out to door companies, mm-hmm. getting bids, I'm sure.
Yep.
And is it just like, hey, are they custom doors? Yeah. I guess is what I'm asking. Or is it most hangers are about these dimensions, so we're just going
to. Most are about that dimension, but I still customize it to what I think. So I could tell them, hey, I want the clear opening height, you know, 12 and a half feet tall, so they could fit a lot of twins or something like that, some larger ones, and then the width. And I just send those dimensions. And then I send that to the building company, and they build the openings around those. So they communicate
with
each other.
The steel company.
Yeah.
And steel's gone up a lot. Huh?
Yeah, steel's gone up. Concrete's gone up. So.
But wood has gone up even more, I hear.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe steel is about the same as wood. But
longevity, I mean, shoot, out here in the Arizona,
exactly.
It's so dry.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, we don't have to worry about corrosion or anything.
So you're thinking about putting some more out there. Yeah. Just got to get the financing lined up.
Yeah.
And then here come more.
Just keep
more people
growing. And there'll be a limit to where I want to grow that airport, that space. Kind of like my dad when he had it. It's a lot of work building hangars. So he built hangars, and then he left some empty conduit underground buried. He says, all right, Eric, if you want to build more hangars, there's conduit for the power. You can build them. I'm done. And then
that's kind of
what I'm going to do with my kids. I'm going to if my two little girls want to get involved or not, or my bonus son, he likes flying and stuff. So if he wants to do the work and trench and stuff, I'll leave some empty growth for him. But
that's awesome. little foresight.
Yeah, I got to think ahead and. I want to stop building. I want to start flying more. I love flying. And
yeah.
So
yeah, exactly. You're all occupied. So how did your dad acquire the airport? Do you know that story?
Yeah, he just always been. He worked director of engineering at the Marine Base, civil servant forever, and then got into flying just as a hobby. And we used to actually land our airplane at our house. We had a little alfalfa field there, and then the Summerton Airport. He moved it over there and worked with the Stan Laws was the previous crop duster pilot there. And rented spots for people to park as well. And the state lease finally was going up, and they wanted to sell the land, get rid of it. I don't know.
The state of Arizona.
Yeah, it was a state lease. And then my dad worked with them and worked with him, and it went up for auction. And my dad was able to get it just as a kind of a side hobby thing. He thought it was neat, and which I didn't think it was neat at the time because he put me to work child labor much. Like I dug so many trenches, so much painting, so much labor, and but we built it into a couple hangars there, and he got a good strong hold on it. And he was an engineer, so he planned ahead where the lights were,
that's why you ran the conduit in advance. Jeez.
Yeah, I ran everything. The way he laid out the runway was already perfect, so once I laid asphalt, they just put a couple layers of AB on it, compacted it, and
I hate engineers.
Yeah,
they're like the worst clients, though, to be honest.
They're very meticulous.
I mean, it's like, dude, I don't ask you. When I get plans made up, I don't say, well, you know, how much is this load, you know, bearing thing going to hold? Like, I trust you. But when they come in, they get their estate plan done with us. It's like, they want to know everything. I'm not, then go to law school. Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Actually had to get some engineering, for do the runway as a bit. And then I was like, you know what? I could just do this myself. I know how to do it. And I worked directly with the paver, Don Peterson Engineering, who mm-hmm. knew my dad. And we worked it out and built it and saved a lot of money and went direct. And, you know.
That's the way to do it right there.
Yeah.
You got connections and people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, what do you got for Eric?
What kind of plane do you fly?
So I got my dad's, I'm going to keep forever, 1946 Taylor Craft. And this plane is, fabric. It's like 750 pounds, two-seater. You hand prop it to start it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that always scares me.
Yeah,
is it a bi-wing?
No, a single wing. And actually, I got a YouTube video. There's a video of an airplane like mine that could allegedly racing a boat on the river, and it looks pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But
is it a tail dragger?
Yeah, tail dragger.
Okay.
And then I've got – so I'll keep that one forever. That one's – I'm actually going to end up winching it to the ceiling of the hangar to make room, and then I can drop it when I need it.
Yeah.
Not just for display.
Not display. No, I still use it. I fly it a lot. Like it's.
So how do you maintain the fabric?
It lasts. I mean, it should have lasted a lot longer, but it sat in the sun for a while. So it's been probably 15 years, 20 years. So I'm going to redo it, and it'll last my lifetime.
New fabric altogether.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They take Mexico. It off. Maybe, but there's a couple AMPs at the airport who are really good at
the fabric.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, you wouldn't think it, I guess.
Yeah, there's a guy named, his nickname is Bonanza Jim. Like, he's just
that's
awesome.
What he does.
That's the type of name you
yeah,
would
that's the guy
with,
you trust.
Right? Yeah.
He's so good.
How
he's
fast
busy,
does that plane go?
100, 105,
really?
110th most.
So it's still quick.
Yeah, still quick. Scoots along.
Miles per hour or knots?
Miles per hour. And so I can land down in the desert. It's got the bigger tires, not like the huge Alaskan tires, but I land mm-hmm. out in the desert and it's fun.
How many people can it hold?
Two, just me and a passenger. And you're
you
shoulder to shoulder.
Uh-huh.
This one has a yoke. This one has a yoke.
It has a yoke,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you, what's your personal?
So personal one, I have a 1967 210, Cessna uh-huh. 210. So it's a retractable gear. Flies about 160 knots, you know, 180, maybe 170, 180 miles an hour. It's pretty quick. And high altitude, and I can go from, like, Yuma to Montana in, like, 5.5 hours.
So you've got – I know there's a whole bunch of different categories of licenses. And, you know, you got your pilot's license where you can fly individually. Then you've got a license where you can take on passengers. What is that called?
You get your commercial rating or you can start charging. You can start mm-hmm. charging like that.
So that's the three different levels. There's
yeah, and then you can get different certifications for different aircraft.
Okay.
Like I just got my twin certification. So I just bought a twin-engine Cessna 421.
Uh-huh.
And that one's pressurized, air-conditioned. That one I want to fly, like, to Mexico or to Alaska or
that's
Florida.
The long range
that's the
long-range
one. Long-range one.
How far?
It's
what's the range?
Though.
About 1,200 miles.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, after any plane, after about 3 or 4 hours, you want to stop and use walk and stretch your legs. And
uh-huh.
It's a lot more – it's not like sitting in the airliner. And it's not like driving a car. You're constantly on.
Yeah,
obviously.
So you're probably mentally
autopilot,
busy, tapped.
You're
already
busy. And
physically you are because you're doing a lot of controls. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's fun.
Unless you have autopilot.
Yeah. Yeah. The big one's got autopilot. I'm trying to get autopilot in the 210 too. But even still, you're on the radio. You're planning. As a pilot, you're always constantly doing
what's
calculations.
Next, next?
Yeah. Seeing what's next. And
it's just exhausting because you're calling ahead the checkpoints so everybody knows they expect you and you're on track. And if you're not there, then they know, okay, we need to look for this person. Or it's just a lot of stuff.
Every pilot has a story that kind of defines like where they took it to the next level and like, okay, this is now my, like, I lived through this, and now this is how I'm going to fly for now on. Do you have one of those stories?
Kind of, yeah. So the reason I got the twin, and I wanted to grow, the family grew and everything, and go expand more, but two engines, because I was flying another 210, and I lost the engine in flight.
A Cessna 210, that's like a mule.
Yeah, it's like the Suburban of the sky.
It's just like a cocaine runner. That's what they used to use for. used to use
yeah.
to get stuff across the border.
Yeah
they're quick. They can take a lot of weight. They can land short distances, and they can land very rough terrain, you know, the jungle or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, so I land mine like on gravel roads, and it's fun. Or grass strips, and it's a fun airplane.
Beast, yeah.
It's a beast. Yeah, it's very rugged. But I had it. Yeah, an engine died on another one. I had some fuel contamination. All of a sudden, my buddy just asked me. He's like, "Hey, have you ever had an emergency landing?" I'm like, "No." Knock on wood. And within seconds, the engine started sputtering.
He was in there with you.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, mine. And I was like, "He's like, are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah, we're going down right now." Like, and like, take a look. And so you're always kind of as a pilot, you're always kind of aware of where if you had to go land. So you always kind of keep that in mind. And that's your training. And it paid off. Luckily, there was a road right there. I'm like, look for traffic, see where the wind's going. I started gliding in. The motor completely died. And
where were you? Where did you have to land?
By Winslow, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, about east of Flagstaff there. And Reservation Road, paved road. Landed, no problem. Rolled off the pavement. And
no cars?
No. Look, well, there was one truck coming, and I was off to the side. And I was deciding either going to the dirt and maybe messing up the airplane, but I was flashing my lights. I'm like, please move over, please move. And he moved, and luckily, no problem. Just rolled in the dirt, and
yeah. Then what?
Called
stuck
yeah,
in Winslow, Arizona, out on a road.
Called FBOs and places in Phoenix, and I found one that would come take the wings off, and repair it. So they
is that fairly an easy thing to do? For planes are made to be transported by taking the wings off and putting
fairly
it on.
Fairly easy. No, I mean it's that's
these are massive.
You don't normally take the wings off ever.
Okay,
ever.
So it's not a quick connect.
No. This company knows what they're doing, and it took a little bit, and but luckily I had another buddy close by, picked us up in the truck, and went back to a restaurant, had a beer, and went home like done with this.
Yeah.
But, they put it back together, and FAA investigated, made sure everything was cool.
Because every time you do any mechanical work on a plane, I understand you have to have the FAA approve it.
Not so much that as a certified mechanic. A certified mechanic, AMP mechanic, he certifies it. But since this was an incident, and normally you don't have to call it in, but the police showed up on site, of course, and they were concerned. So they called it in, and they didn't know what to do, and that's fine. And so they investigated and just checked it, found out it was like fuel contamination. And choked down the fuel injection system on it.
And, would that do the same thing with a twin engine though? Because the same fuel source, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was rare. It was something they had just repaired the plane and the wing tanks, and I don't know. There was something bumping around, moving around. Finally happened. That's not normal. I mean, that's not normal. And then a twin, each side's got filters on them as well, and there was a problem with the filter too. It damaged the filter.
I was wondering, it shouldn't have been filtered, you know?
Yeah, the filter had moved off to the side, which allowed debris to go by, and so it was a couple of things that were not normal. I mean, everything's inspected and thoroughly checked.
Does your friend still fly with you?
Oh yeah, they
really.
Oh yeah, they
trust didn't spook
me.
Him.
No. They.
I mean, that's how you land anyway. Most of the time, you are turning your engines completely. You just glide. You're gliding in. Your glide slope. So.
Really?
Yeah, you're just like a kite. So
you're going as slow as you possibly can. No power. If you need it, you've got power. But, yeah, you're just gliding in and touch down. So.
Without, yeah.
Well, good thing you weren't over the Grand Canyon.
So that's what made me think. So, I mean, we'll go over the Grand Canyon, stuff like that. You fly high altitude and you kind of pay attention more. Uh-huh. But I had flown at night a lot with my kids and stuff. And after that, I was like, you know, if I'm going to fly at night anymore, unless it's like over, like going to Phoenix right over the freeway, I can see it, I'm getting a twin.
Well, it seems like we hear about like once a month a small plane going down in a family.
Yeah.
And so my wife, she's, you know, telling me.
Definitely against it.
Yeah. She's like, you're not going to fly in a small plane. And I'm all about it. I really want to. I can't wait till he gets his license. He gets whatever certificate he needs to get me up in there.
Oh,
so we can just, yeah.
We need to take you up and your wife one time. We'll go for a cruise and then talk. Because I can talk to you.
I don't think I'll be.
No. Because the biggest thing is just you're always.
I'll do it myself, but. I don't know if I want to be stuck in a tin can with my wife in the air, because we'll be divorced by the time we get to the ground.
It's a short flight. It's a short flight. You get some tacos in Calexico.
The cool thing about the 210 is like I land on purpose on gravel roads, and then you can really feel like any place. There's so many places to land. It's the accidents that happen are the pilots that panic and they try to make it to runway, and they just, you know, it's okay to land in a field or a golf course or wherever. I mean, there's a lot of stories that don't even make the news of landing on freeways and. You know.
Yeah, did yours make the news?
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversation on life, death, and the law, right after this.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
Glock Days are coming to Yuma, Saturday, October 4th at Firearms Unknown. Now is the time to get that personal protection perfection that you've been waiting for. Special pricing on Glock handguns at prices too low to advertise. Grab a coffee from the coffee hub and stick around for the big raffle. Spin the prize wheel with every purchase and win your free swag or a free cup of coffee. It's Glock Days at Firearms Unknown. Get your Glock perfection. Firearms Unknown, 801 West 32nd Street, or firearmsunknown.com.
What's up, Yuma, and hello, Russ Clark Show listeners. Johnny Porter here, and I just made the switch to Allo Fiber, and it's a game changer. Lightning fast speeds for streaming, working from home, and gaming. No buffering or slowed down speeds. It's time to ditch the glitch and switch to Allo Fiber.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're a different kind of wireless company dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Because let's face it, our needs are different. Big wireless unlimited plans are designed for 20-somethings, not us. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on one thing, bringing you affordable, reliable rate plans that suit your needs, not ours. How do we do that? We start by using the same towers as the big guys, the exact same towers. We then create rate plans designed for your usage. The fact is, we can offer you an unlimited plan with the same network quality for less because we understand how you use wireless services. Our plans start at just $20 a month. And forget trying to chat with robots. You'll get 100% U.S.-based award-winning customer service when you need help. Come find out how wireless should be and join the millions who've made the switch.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best since 2014.
No, not even.
Probably a good thing.
I mean, if you ever see me on the news, I'll just be sitting on top of the airplane in a snow cone until the police come. I'll be in a, I'll land in a football stadium. I don't care. Just an open field and not be so worried about trying to make it to a runway, you know?
What is one of the most, like, a destination that you got to that once you got out of there, you're like, okay, you know, wiping the sweat off your brow. Like, I didn't, it, that was pretty sketch.
I guess the first time to Catalina Island.
Catalina, huh?
Yeah, because it's on the top of a mountain, kind of cliffs on each side, drop-offs, and it's, but I don't know. I guess I grew up in Yuma, landing so many places, like with the crop dusters and all these gravel fields everywhere, and just grew up in that little airplane.
Are you a crop duster?
No.
Oh, but you could you do it?
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to.
Why not?
It's definitely risky. It's at night. You're very fatigued flying and doing maneuvers. And
it's amazing. It's truly amazing. Every time I'm coming home, I usually see them when I'm coming home from the river. And at first I think, oh, a plane's going down. I'm like, oh, no, it's a crop duster.
Yep.
And it's just going over the telephone wires and coming back down. And and I can't believe they're skilled. They're incredible.
It's amazing. I guess in life I have a lot of high-risk things, so I'm trying to reduce them. So, I mean, I do Baja racing and all that stuff, extreme sports, so I'm like, I can lay off on that one. So,
okay.
Yeah, but I
could. You don't need the income. I mean, you got a summer tan, you got your...
It's probably really good income, though,
right?
Yeah,
they do very well. They do very well.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. No, they're
so what's your favorite, then, of all the, high-octane sports that you do?
Oh, probably still the dirt bikes, the motocross and the desert racing, Baja racing. That's fun.
What is it about? I just have never got into it. Like, I've done it. I'm not done it like that, but I've gone out to the dunes or I've gone out to, you know, even growing up, like I would do little quad things with my friends and stuff. It was fun at the time, but I just have no desire. So what is it that keeps you hooked? Out of all these things you do, like, no, that's my fix. I want to get that. I want to do that.
It's exhausting and it's exhausting. Dirty and
it's a challenge putting your body through it, putting your soul through it. It's a will to finish, you know.
And you're a millisecond away from death all the time.
Yeah, one of the bad things, the 500, I was doing really good. A couple of the pros had crashed out, and every pit I get to, they're like, "You're in first place." I'm like, "What? No way!" And so I was like, I didn't. Instead of resting like I was supposed to, I was like, oh, I'm gonna keep going. And the last 80 miles, I went off a cliff. I messed up, and I was dazed. And I'd counted like 32 lizards, 18 hawks. You know, you're bored out there, right? And I went off
waiting for somebody to come pick you up.
I went off a cliff, and then that was just in the race. During the race, I'm just riding and counting all this stuff. But anyway, so somebody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you're just
keep your mind.
It was like 14 hours, straight.
Oh, okay.
Keep trying.
You don't have music
active.
Going or anything?
No.
AirPods?
Nothing. And so I went.
You raw dogged it?
Yeah, just go, just rode.
That's a term for it now, I guess. That's what you're saying.
Not sure it's the same right term, but all right.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But anyway, Iron Man did.
Okay, you Iron Man did.
Yeah, so And then I went off a cliff, so people helped me. I dislocated my shoulder. They had to put it back in. They're trying to get the ambulance. I'm like, no, I want to finish. And I got it back
no.
in and jumped on the bike. And the last 80 miles was torture because I was hurting and sore yeah. and messed up. But I finished the race, but just that will to finish, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's a challenge. It's you're challenging yourself. And since we grew up out here in the desert, we're used to this desert riding. It's very similar, you know, terrain. So it's just – just that.
Well, it is a workout.
Sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. I've ridden street bikes for a while, and I haven't done long rides, 3 or 4 hour rides, probably the longest. And when I went out to the dunes, I made it about 10 or 15 minutes. And then I got off and literally took a nap.
Yeah,
it
was
so tiring.
I couldn't even talk. I was trying to eat tacos after that race, and I couldn't even, my brain is just wiped out. And that's what I realized. You can push your body way further than your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like even though at the end of it, you know, I take like caffeine, like little energy drinks and stuff, or these pouches, you know, like the triathletes use during the race to try to keep. But your brain just, you got to let your brain rest. And that's what happened. I just got dazed and out of it and, oh, turn and roar right off a cliff.
It's almost like a highway hypnosis. Have you heard of that, you know?
Yes.
You're just doing the same thing for a while and then your mind.
I just drove like 10 miles. I don't even remember going through that.
Yeah.
And that's where it'll get you. So I can will my body to go through a lot, but your brain is the biggest thing.
Do your kids, what do they like to do with, like, what do you guys do as a family?
So, they like I said, we like the river, go to the river a lot, swimming a lot, you know, stay cool. And definitely all the normal, you know, SeaWorld activities and stuff. But hiking, actually, out in the desert right here, they really enjoy hiking. Take them out hiking. I got a 5- and 10-year-old girls and then my boys.
Do they have bikes? Do they have ATVs?
So, yeah, they're still young. They got a little pink quad for the little one. The other one's got a little dirt bike. And there's a local dirt bike track, Happy Track, here that's really cool. And
where is that?
That one's right off of, I think it's County 13th and Avenue B. It's right along the canal, around that mesa right there.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, they'll have lights at night.
There's a little, like, I don't know, shack down at the bottom of it. It looks like.
Yeah, he's got like a little, like a food selling area, and then they got bleachers and bathrooms and
that's Indian land or
no that's private owned.
That
guy
that was Kokopa,
good buddy named that's by the Kokopa, but further down along the edge of the mesa on Avenue B, by getting closer towards below the golf course, by the golf course.
Okay, that way. Okay.
Below the Border Patrol station. There a guy named Bobby Lee just got it, and he's really turning it around and, you know, promoting it. And it's the girls here, they like to ride the quads there and the little
do
dirt
they
bikes
race them, or just
they're starting to do races, so they're gonna have like little pit bike races, and then I get on that with my buddies, like the older guys. And it's,
so what's that, a pit bike, a 110?
110. I like those. And but they have big jumps for the big bikes, and he separates out for kids and then faster guys, so we have like separate, so we don't collide or anything. So
do they do competitions there, or is
he starting to do fun? Yeah, he's starting to do competitions, and he's going to have a kind of a grand opening and have a big freestyle metal militia guy come and do some ramp show for us.
That's cool.
Gonna be fun. So but yeah, that's where the girls like it. And then my son, he's 16, him and his buddies, a bunch of teenagers, hoodlums, they all ride there and dirt bikes. So
it's a whole family affair.
Yeah, whole family affair. And I live right down the road, so we just ride there usually. Down the canal. And
yeah, that's super cool.
Do you find that kids that grow up riding ATVs are better drivers?
Yes.
Overall?
Yes. Because
they're just aware of their surroundings. They anticipate turns, anticipate bad conditions, things like that.
And they're more adept to react better for it. Yeah. So, the desert, you come across a bush or something, you have to deviate versus on the pavement, you know, people like, oh, just slam their brakes and hit them. They're like, oh, there's a parking lot or a dirt lot. Boom, turn that way. And
cat rides out in front of you, and they're like, boom, into the ditch instead of like, calculating all of the different options that they have, because a million things go through your mind in a fraction of a second. And I think that too. My kids, they ride even just the golf cart at a young age to kind of be aware of traffic around them, stop at the intersection, make sure it's all clear. And I have people that ask me, you know, I saw your kid out there on the golf cart, he was driving around, I think he, you know, probably took it without permission. I was like, no, I told him to go down the street and go pick something up for me. And I really think that that's a good thing. Instead of, they're not going to instantly acquire these skills to drive just because they turn 16, right?
Yeah, with a 2,000-pound vehicle versus a golf cart, you know, they can afford to make accidents. They can, I hit a bush, or oh, I broke the tire on the curve, or whatever.
I flipped it over.
That's exactly what I want, like, them to experience those types of incidents, because they understand. there's consequences. Even if with a golf cart, you know, like you wreck the plastics on the golf cart, it's $500. And they're like, seriously, I just barely hit the wall. I'm like, yeah, there's big consequences. And so they understand as you get older, the consequences of little actions get more drastic. And that's if they haven't done that, yeah, I think that the percentage for insurance companies in determining whether or not a kid between 16 and 18 year old, a male, is going to get in an accident, 100%. It's 100%. I'm trying to take it down to one notch. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to take my kid out of that one percentile. Yeah. And, you know, they may get in that accident, but hopefully at least reduce the gravity of the situation.
Yeah, I've heard that we're the worst drivers in the world.
Arizona's?
No, just the United States. Primarily because...
we're worst at everything. Everybody hates us.
Oh, yeah, maybe that. Maybe so. But, like, everywhere else in the world, yeah, they've got regulations and stuff, but they don't really abide by them. So it's very fly by the seat of your pants. You just kind of, everybody, mm-hmm. They're a lot more defensive.
Yeah.
And so when we go out of the country and try and drive, we're like freaked out. We don't know what to do. And we freeze or we, you know, primarily. That's what
not
I heard.
Not aggressive or reactive.
Well, yeah. I don't know either, because there's also everywhere that I've been, the vehicles here are big. They're a lot bigger and got a lot more horsepower. And maybe that's it. And maybe a lot bigger portion of the population is driving, because the other places I've been, it's a very small portion of the population, generally like upper class or the professionals that are driving taxis and stuff like that. Here, every kid that turns 16 typically gets a car.
Yeah, you're driving. Yeah, it's true. So what else is coming up? Anything else we need to know about?
No, hopefully just start, as I said, do the drag racing and I guess wedding venue, and that'll be fun.
So somebody wanted to go and fly.
Yeah.
And they just, like, I would, that's, it's on my bucket list. Skydiving, not necessarily, but just be up in a small plane. Do you offer that?
Unfortunately, I can't, because that's like another license type of thing. I can take buddies up and we fly, and that's about it. But but they do, we have an instructor at the airport. He does discovery flights. And so for like, I don't know, I think it's $150 or something. He'll take up people and fly them around, and he can either just take them on a tour of Yuma, or he can actually teach them how to fly and work with them, or he's done like baby reveals and stuff like that too. Like he's done like it all. Or marriage proposals and
certain
stuff.
Certain type of exhaust or something, like a pink exhaust.
I'll throw out a bag of the powder and just
dust
out, you know, type of thing.
Uh-huh.
I actually just got a call, buddy, wanted to know if I could do that. And I was like, well, at the moment, I don't have an airplane. And I would have done it for him because he's a buddy. But I didn't have my planes are getting repaired right now at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But so I sent him to this guy, Jim McDermott. He's a flight instructor there. And he's a good old guy. He's a good old master gun. So he's kind of maybe he seems a little grouchy, but he's really good. And he's very professional. And he's good.
You want the guy that's no nonsense.
Oh, yeah. He's no nonsense. And he's turned down a lot of students. And he's the cheapest. I don't know. His rates are ridiculous. His cheapest rates, like at Phoenix, anywhere you go, anywhere, Yuma. So
he enjoys it or?
Yeah, he just enjoys it. Just like loves doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. He's retired and all that.
You know, yeah, retired, but he's there every day, though. And he works hard. And he's flying and still doing it.
But
he's the one that could give like those discovery flights if you want to go fly around, you know. Yeah, buddies, I'll take him up flying, and like there's a cool area you can fly around Yuma up over the river and the dunes, and I have a little tour I can.
There's a lot to Yuma.
There is. People don't realize that.
Yeah, a lot of people only see the freeway and the gas station as they make the pit stop on the way to San Diego, but there's a lot to it.
Yeah, agriculture is huge, and the river, and then
Yeah. So, have you thought about getting that certification where you can take people up?
Yeah, no, it's just that's a whole other job. I'd have to do that full time because it's kind of like a air
so
Uber.
Many hours
you have to have a different insurance regulations, different maintenance regulations. Like the maintenance, you know, the inspections have to be more frequent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to do it full time and. I just like flying for fun and taking the family around and friends and go snowboarding. You know, we could fly up, go snowboarding, come back the same day, you know, or buddies, we'd be bored at the airport. Like, hey, you want to go to lunch, Kalina? Let's go. Let's go get some bison burgers. And we just
That's an interesting thing. I understand. So like with a car, you drive a car to an airport and you got to pay like $30 a night to leave your car there. if you fly your plane to the airport, how much does it cost to land?
Most of them, they don't charge. Most of them do not charge.
That's what I understand. So that's nice. Incredible.
It's a whole other world. I mean, now the bigger places like Henderson or, you know, yeah, a lot of places in California, yeah, they do have like $30 overnight or something. So it's still pretty affordable for us.
But if you were just to land, eat lunch, and take off.
A lot of them don't charge. And sometimes they get vouchers at the airport that they have good restaurants there that they don't charge you. So usually it's just overnight fees.
You're typically fueling up at the airport?
Typically, and a lot of times they'll waive the charges if you fill up. They'll waive the charge. So
yeah. But so they're making their money off of the fuel.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But the good thing is they're municipal airports, so the county pays for it and the city. And I mean, they're doing a kind of a service. Now they get their money from the bigger guys. They get the Lear jets and stuff like that. Those are get charged overnight. See, like my new twin, I'm afraid I'm going to start getting charged because it's bigger, but it's kind of like the poor man Lear jet, you know.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. I mean, I know you're so busy with all these things, but I really appreciate you coming in. We'll have to have you back on when you have another project coming up.
Yes, something new coming on. Or next race I finish or something, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to go look you up on YouTube to see your crashes.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't break anything?
Luckily, no, not in the ones on
really?
YouTube. Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, a lot of protective gear, neck brace, knee braces, and broke all those, but my body was...
Well, that's cool.
Just beat up. But
just dislocated your shoulder.
Oh, that was a different time, yeah. Oh. That was different. Yeah, that one. Yeah,
but these other bad ones.
Back in, keep going. No big deal.
Yeah. Before you got in here, before we were talking about it, he was talking about... some really bad ones that were on YouTube.
I've had some interesting ones. So, but knock on wood, though, just gotta go slow down, have fun, and ride safe and fly safe. Everything's just calculated risk. It's all calculated risk. Yeah,
is that what you say? That's what you tell your wife?
Yeah, yeah. She's not gonna watch this for good.
I know. She's like on Instagram or whatever, watching Taylor Swift. So okay. Well, thanks for coming in. And if you need anything, let us know.
All right. Yeah, definitely.
Sound good?
Thank you.
Okay.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed on this episode, call the law firm of Deason Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yuma.law.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game, marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
El Dorado Broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members, Baskin-Robbins, Yuma Cardiac CT, Yuma FC, and Outreach Partners of Yuma. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Valeria@yumachamber.org. That's Valeria@yumachamber.org or call 928-782-2567.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org. For more information, the Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact, and keep your contact list somewhere safe. Build a kit with enough food and water for 3 days. And don't forget your pets. Keep 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to get the extra doses. Make copies of important documents and keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Note area hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alerts.
Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.